You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. If you are 17 years old and you break a law and are convicted here in Michigan, you're going to be tried as an adult. Michigan is one of a handful of states where that happens, getting tried as an adult. And virtually every state allows prosecutors or judges to pursue sentencing of a 17-year-old as an adult in specific cases. So what happens once those young people are in prison? Stories of teens being sexually assaulted in adult prisons led Congress to pass the Prison Rape Elimination Act. That was in 2003. My next guest is an attorney who believes Michigan is not doing what it should to protect young offenders when they're in prison. Deborah LaBelle is director of the Juvenile Life Without Parole Initiative with the ACLU. Welcome, Deborah.
Thank you for having me.
What do you think sets Michigan apart in the way that it treats young people who break the law?
So actually, Michigan is now one of nine and soon to be one of eight states only that treat 17-year-olds directly as adults, as if they're adults for all infractions they have with the law. But Michigan goes even further. 13, 14, 15, and 16-year-olds are also treated as adults in Michigan for a wide variety of law-breaking, and they are placed directly in adult prisons when they're sentenced and convicted for a range of mostly property crimes. So we have hundreds of children aged 13 to 17 in Michigan's adult prisons. And the kind of harm that's been wrought to them ranges from the sexual abuse that you talked about, but it's also solitary confinement, tasering, shackling, all of the things that if we looked at Michigan's protection and neglect laws, which say children is everyone under 18, you simply can't do these things to children. And if any parent or guardian were caught doing these things, shackling, putting them in closets, putting them in holes for months, they would be found criminally guilty of abuse and neglect. But the state is doing it with impunity.
How many states is that a situation in where you're seeing these children 13 to 17?
So there are many states that say for certain crimes, youth can be tried as adults. Many, many states do that.
Right. Depends on the crime.
California, for example. Mm-hmm. But they never put their children in adult prisons. They hold them until they're 18, 19, 20, 21, recognizing that youth in adult prisons with adult prisoners are prey. That's what the Prison Rape Elimination Act specifically was trying to address, to say, listen, if you put children in with adults, they are going to become the first victims. And so there are only a handful of states right now. The only one I know of that goes as young as 14 is Florida, but they keep their youth very separate from adults, a completely different unit.
Tell us about the lawsuit that you have filed.
What happened is in the context of working actually with the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights, we started to get letters from youth who were in the adult prisons. And to put children in adult prisons is a complete human rights violation, violates the Declaration of the Rights of Man. And the United States is literally the only country that does this. And so we started to interview them, a number of us, and working in conjunction with some people from the International Human Rights Clinic in New York at Columbia Law School. And more youth, we are finding, were reporting really deep abuse, sexual assaults from adult prisoners where they were put in the same cell with, as well as sexual abuse from staff. Children don't belong in adult prisons, and there's a good reason for it. You think of the kind of rehabilitation that kids need. Mm-hmm. It's totally anathema to what goes on in the adult prisons and what you do for adults. As we know as parents, as we know as children ourselves, we can remember the kind of punishment that is wreaked on children just doesn't work for them. It doesn't help them rehabilitate. And for Michigan, we have hundreds of kids coming out much more damaged than when they went in.
Are you filing this on behalf of one prisoner? Is this what's behind this case?
So we have a federal lawsuit and a state lawsuit. And recently, the state court judge certified this as a class action, which was upheld by the Court of Appeals. And so it's a class of youth. Right now, we have had over 250 youth come to us and say they were injured in this way in Michigan during the relevant time frame. I think there will be many more.
I would imagine it's hard to get any kind of hard and fast numbers because they're probably terrified to speak.
They are. I mean, it's a very real problem. If youth speak out and they're kept in the same prison as the people who raped them, I mean, the threats of violence are not made up in their heads. You know, they're not illusionary. It's the threat that you will be hurt. One of my clients just last week was stabbed 27 times, and only that he had all of his clothes on and his coat because it's so cold allowed him to survive. And those were three adult male prisoners who stabbed him. So I think that they're terrified. I don't think that there's sufficient protection. The protection that is often offered is to be put in, quote, protective custody, which is the whole.
Solitary.
Solitary.
So it's happening because guards don't care, guards aren't aware, guards are not enough. Why is it happening?
So I think that it's very hard to not know in a prison. There are cameras everywhere. Everybody's movements are regulated. You get misconduct tickets for being a moment out of place. So to say that you don't know that children are being raped in the prison, I think is not a credible assertion. I think what happens is that for a long time, there's been acceptance of sexual abuse in the prisons. We know as a society, we all know about it.
It's the way it is.
We think about it. That, you know, yeah. There are jokes about it. There are films about it. Shawshank Redemption. This is nothing new to us.
Sure.
And so what has happened and what the reason we had the Prison Rape Elimination Act is that children are particularly vulnerable and are often, I think the staff turn their head because it's a way of controlling things. If it's going to happen, then it has to be somehow regulated. And the youth don't fight back.
When we talk about this situation in Michigan and when you see these 13 to 17-year-olds, where and how did that trend begin?
I think that in the 90s, there was this sort of bugaboo, you know, of our youth, our children were going to become these super predators. And it was particularly strong in Michigan, where the governor at the time, Governor Engler, said he was going to build punk prisons for kids. Somehow we walked away from the fact that children are our most vulnerable assets for our future, that we have to protect them as a society, to fearing them. Well, it turned out not to be true, this concept that there was going to be a new group of youth who were immoral and that would create all this violence and havoc. But during that time, we started lowering the age of which kids could be put in prison. We stopped being transparent about who is doing this and how many children, so that what is astonishing to me, and I was at an event in D.C. in which the State Department, the Bureau of Prisons, there were state actors there. And when we asked how many youth are in adult prisons and jails in this country, no one knew. No one knew because we don't keep track of them. They're not counted. And they're just pulled out of their communities and they're missing. And we know in Michigan, for example, the majority of youth are there for property crimes. And the majority of them could have served their sentence in a youth facility and gone home. Instead, they enter an adult prison, which we all know, and have this harm wrought on them, stumble out. And the data is irrefutable that youth who go into adult prisons there is a public safety risk. They recidivate. Mm-hmm. And that if you treat children like children and say, okay, they're kids, they do these things, and they also come sometimes from broken homes, and we have failed them in many ways, but we can help them now, that you can actually reduce crime by treating youth in the juvenile facilities.
I'm speaking with Ann Arbor attorney Deborah LaBelle, who's director of the Juvenile Life Without Parole Initiative, as we talk about the Prison Rape Elimination Act and whether it's working, whether it's not, and the fact that there are children in adult prisons in Michigan. I'm going to put out two names that are going to be widely recognized. Ihab Maslamani, he was 17. Robert Taylor was 16 when they kidnapped Matthew Landry of Chesterfield Township in 2009. Middle of the afternoon, he was at a sandwich shop. They drove him around for 8 hours, and then they took him to a house in Detroit, and they shot him in the back of his head. And they actually recently tried and failed to get their sentences reduced, and a Macomb County judge resentenced them to life without parole. What do you say to those who say that was a heinous crime? They got what they deserved. We don't care if they were 16 or 17 at the time.
So there's a little bit difference in the sentencing there. The Supreme Court recently said in the Miller case that for youth who commit the harshest of crimes, mm-hmm. homicide, you have to consider their youthful status before you mm-hmm. sentence them. But those youth would get long sentences no matter what. Whether they got life without parole or in Michigan, they could get 25 to 60. Those are the only two sentences. But prior to their being 18, there's no reason to put them in an adult prison.
Even with what was done?
Even with what they were done, their sentence is to serve a long time in prison. It's true. Mm-hmm. But their sentence is not to be thrown out to be raped and to be abused as children. They can be kept safely in there's a Maxie Boys School. There are other youth who have committed homicides who are mm-hmm. kept. But as children, they shouldn't be punished in addition to their sentence. Their sentence is their sentence. Mm-hmm. That's their punishment.
What are you seeking in this lawsuit? What's the lawsuit asking of the state of Michigan?
The lawsuit's asking that children not be put in adult prisons, period, that they should not be transferred into the adult prison. And the majority of them who have done, as I say, property crimes can be successfully kept in education and have rehabilitation and return to our communities without any further harm being wrought on them. And I don't think this is a big issue, but at a great economic savings to the state. So what's going on now is to place a child in an adult prison is extremely expensive. And I also think that, I think that we would ask that Michigan join the majority of states in this country and not put children in adult prisons. There are plenty of effective ways to keep kids educated, to keep them rehabilitated, and bring them back to our community without the extraordinary cost of what's going on now, both in economic and in human terms. And I think that you simply would not have adult prisoners raping children if they weren't in the same place with adult prisoners. You would not have children subjected to solitary confinement, shackling, and tasering, which happens in adult prisons. It does not happen in the juvenile prisons. Michigan also does an incredibly unusual thing. They have a good law called the Holmes Youthful Trainee Act, in which if a kid commits a property offense for the first time, it's recognized that you should have a second chance. So courts sentence them to probation, and if they successfully complete probation, then their crime is right free. They don't have a felony. They move on. They grow up. They finish high school. They get jobs. They go to college. But in Michigan, it allows those youth under that act to go and serve their probation in prison. So you have kids in prison who are in prison for minor in possession, for in prison for fleeing a police officer on school grounds, who are actually in the adult prisons serving their probation. And many counties do this to save money. Washtenaw is not among them. Washtenaw, they're doing their probation at the Humane Society, the Neutral Zone, the Habitat for Humanity, while they're still going to school and living at home. But there are hundreds of kids who under this act are actually in adult prisons and subject to all of the types of abuse that I've just talked about.
Now, the lawsuit you filed, did you file that in Washtenaw court?
It is in Washtenaw, yes.
And I'm wondering why Washtenaw when there are no prisons in Washtenaw County?
Well, the main defendant lives in Washtenaw County. That would be Governor Snyder.
Okay. I wondered, was there a thought that perhaps there would a judge in Washtenaw County might be more sympathetic to the case?
No, I think that the main defendant was the governor who lives here. And, there are actually prisons in Washtenaw County. This also includes girls. And so the women's prison is in Washtenaw County. And girls are put at the age of 13 in general population at the women's facility.
What kind of timetable? What are you looking forward to happening, and in what point of period of time?
To date, the state has fought this very hard, both in the federal case and in the state case. In a little over a year since we filed, I think there have been 14 appeals and 13 requests to stay all proceedings. So we're not moving as quickly as I would hope, but we would look forward to beginning trial in this case within the next year.
Deborah, what drove you to this work that you feel so passionately about?
I mean, I think in this specific case,
in general, looking at this problem of children in prisons and the whole issue of juvenile offenders, what drove you to that?
I think I deeply believe that, you know, children are our best resource and that we really owe something to them. We should protect them. They're our children. I unfortunately see that the majority of youth who are in the prisons are children of color. And I don't think failing them and then punishing them is the way a society should act. And I also recognize that and see many other children of privilege, both by class and by racial identity, who do the exact same things, but they don't go to prison.
Deborah LaBelle, director of the Juvenile Life Without Parole Initiative with the ACLU and an attorney based in Ann Arbor. Deborah, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.